John chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's a wonderful passage of Scripture, isn't it? I want to preach tonight on this subject. I'm glad I know who Jesus is. We just come out of the Christmas season, and we know that we could even apply this at Christmas time. But really, when you ask people if they really know who Jesus is, a lot of people might say he's a good man. Some religions say he's a good man. Other religions in the world don't say that Jesus didn't exist. They just say he wasn't the Savior. But I'm thankful tonight. I know who Jesus is. And we have in this passage of Scripture, not a very long introduction, but we have in this passage three things that I see about the Savior that lets me know who He really is. First of all, He is the revealed Savior. In verse 8, He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Think about this now. From heaven to earth, by the way of a virgin womb, He came just for me. Isn't that a miraculous thought? Isn't that a wonderful thought? He left heaven and earth to come to me. And the thing about it is, He isn't a concealed Savior. He is a revealed Savior. You say, Brian, how is He revealed? Well, He's revealed simply like this. If you're not saved tonight, everyone that is saved has sat in your position. We've sat in a pew somewhere or wherever the Lord convicted of us of our sins. And we did not know yet Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. So the things that we rejoice about, the things that we sing about, you may not understand why we get happy. You may not understand why we get so blessed. It's because the Savior has been revealed to us, and we know who He is in our life. But if you're not saved, the Savior hasn't been revealed to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. But the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit is He reveals Himself in such a way that the light is shown in your life, and it convicts you of your sins. And when that happens, He shows you your sin by His light, but thank God He is revealed, and it can show Him as the Savior. Isn't that wonderful that the same light can show you need a Savior, but thank God it reveals the Savior at the same time. Not only does it show us our sin, but shows us the Savior. But thank God through the light of the Holy Spirit, it shows us our guilt. But thank God Jesus is revealed and it shows us His marvelous grace. It shows us the burden of sin that we're carrying when the light is shown upon us. But thank God the light also reveals the burden bearer. His name is Jesus Christ. It shows us our shame and the depravity of sin that we're living in. But thank God it also reveals a solution to our sin, and that is the true light, Jesus Christ. It shows us our disgrace. It shows us our depravity. But thank God the light also reveals Jesus Christ as the delight of our soul when we come to Him in the pardon and remission of sin. If it wasn't for the light that came into the world, you would not realize that you even needed a Savior. But in His way, in His time, He's revealed to you. Some of you are waiting on thunder and lightning for you to get saved when the sun's shining all around you and you don't even see Him. He's already been revealed to you. If you just open your heart and open your eyes and look. Look at where He's brought you from. Look, if you're a sinner tonight and you don't know the Lord, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed to be in a church that loves the Lord. You're blessed to be in a church that knows Jesus Christ. And you're blessed to be here tonight to hear a gospel message that can show you you're a sinner. But thank God that can show you the solution. And that is the true light, Jesus Christ. I love detective shows, and I love, you know, all these CSI shows that are coming out. I like to watch those things. And I never did understand. It always confused me. In the daylight, they would use a flashlight. I was like, I never did understand. Until one time I was outside and needed to find something. And so I got a flashlight out, one of those LED lights, you know, LED lights, LED lights. That wasn't a very good joke, but anyway, I got one of those LED, those real bright flashlights, needed to find something out in the grass. And it's amazing. Even though there's light all around you, it's amazing what focus light really does. You can see a lot more when the light is shown even in the light of the world. And I'm thankful tonight that when Jesus Christ was revealed through His Holy Spirit, it shows us that even though we may be a good person, we may give to certain organizations, you may even give to this church, and I appreciate that. But those things aren't going to get you into heaven. But when the true light, when Jesus Christ focuses in on your heart, you see who you really are, and it's an ugly picture. But thank God on the other side of the coin, on the other side of that light is Jesus Christ that can save you out of your life of sin. He is a revealed Savior. Aren't you glad that when you're in the depravity of your sin, you were sitting in a pew somewhere, someone preached a message or someone sang a song, and you realize that you were a dirty, rotten old sinner, but thank God the same light showed you Jesus Christ, and you came to an altar of prayer, and the light of God filled your soul, and you've never been the same since. Hallelujah. I tell you, when you get Jesus in your heart, the glow just shines out, and that way you can shine on everybody else. I love sitting, love watching old Jerry up here on the front row. I don't want to embarrass him. I know he probably won't get embarrassed, but I'm telling you, he's a blessing. He gets blessed all the time. You know why? Because he listens. Some of y'all don't pay attention to half of what you're singing or saying or listening to. But Jerry does, and some of these other ones do. Tim Mitchell and all these other ones do. That's why they shout all the time. That's why they get blessed. That's why you should be getting blessed if you just pay attention to what's being sang. Amen. Look at what we sang tonight. Upon life's balance oceans where mighty billows roll, I fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me and storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and I trust Him more. Some of y'all didn't listen to what you were singing, did you? The light. I know who He is. He's the revealed Savior. But He's also the rejected Savior. Look at what it says. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Think about that. He created this universe. He created you. And the only reason He did it, and the only reason He left the portals of glory was just for you. And yet we rejected Him. He didn't come for a group of people. He didn't come for a religion. He didn't come for Judaism. He didn't come for Muslims. He didn't come for Christians. He came just for you. And yet, we reject Him. It's an awful feeling to be rejected. I thought about the story Billy told Sunday about Tara. Some of you may relate. It's a worst feeling in the world. I know from the way I look that you wouldn't think I'd be picked last for anything. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah, tell the truth, right? But I was a lot of times in junior high and whatever. I was small. I was tiny and got picked last for a lot of things. And it's a terrible feeling to be rejected. And everyone at some point in your life has felt rejection. And it's an awful feeling. You feel unwanted, you feel unloved, and you feel like you're good for nothing. You did that to Jesus. We've all done that to Jesus. You say, how have I done that? When He knocked on your heart and you said no. Sinner friend, tonight every time you hear the Word of God, and every time the Word of God touches your soul and the light of God is revealed into your heart and you say no, you're rejecting the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not rejecting the songs we sing. You're not rejecting our sermons. You're not rejecting me or Calvin Ray or any other preacher. You're rejecting Jesus. Imagine how that makes Him feel. We see this rejection all the way back in Genesis 3. Last week we had a wonderful camp meeting in Sefner, Florida. And not only was it a great services, but we had some wonderful time of fellowship with some preacher friends of ours, Mike McCoy and Mike Blanton, Roger, and Chris Rumfelt. A lot of you heard him on our program a few weeks ago preaching about why people say foolish things. Wonderful young preacher that's got a tremendous church in Hayesville. And me and him were talking one day, and I heard about a sermon he preached, and I wanted to ask him about it just to bend his ear. And he started talking about it, and the more I thought about it, I thought, man, what a thought the Lord gave him. I'd like to say it was my own, but it wasn't. But I'll just share with you what he mentioned to me about the book of Genesis, Genesis 3. And if you still have your Bibles open, you can turn with me back to Genesis 3. But if not, I'll read it to you. But I just kind of want you to see it. Genesis 3, we know this is the temptation of man and the fall of man and the judgment on man. And we know the Bible says in Genesis 3, verse 3, it says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." We know that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And yet we know that the Satan tempted Eve. We realize that. We know that she partook of the fruit and then gave it to Adam. And then they knew, it was revealed that they were sinners. But notice, after the Lord drove them out of Eden, in verse 24, He drove out the man and He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now this is what Chris said. This is what really blessed my heart. He said the tree of life was in the garden the whole time, and yet they didn't eat of it at one time. Imagine, they could have partook of that tree. They could have ate of that tree and had eternal life. But yet, they didn't. But no, they went to the one that God said, keep your hands off. I'm sure the Bible says, we know it, the facts say that it looked good. The fruit on that tree looked good. It was desirous to make one wise. And so they saw it. They were tempted by it. Satan with his evil schemes came along and said, you won't die. You'll be just like God. You'll have power just like God. And they partook of that tree. But yet they left the tree of life alone. And here's what Chris said. He said, the way I picture it, he said, this isn't in any commentary. This is just what the Lord gave me, and I totally agree. He said, I think the tree of life was ugly. I think the tree of life wasn't good to look at. I think the fruit on that tree might not have been pleasurable to the eyes. So when they looked at the tree of life, and when they looked at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they saw the one that God said, don't touch, and they said, but that looks so much better. But yet they didn't touch the tree that could give them eternal life. But then God did something that is just amazing to me. Grace was shown in the garden. He set an angel in front of the tree of life. Because now, since sin had come on board, since they partook of that fruit, and since sin was now on board, and since they knew they were sinners, if they would have eaten of the tree of life, they would have been in that state for the rest of their life in sin and yet not able to die. But God in His mercy and grace sent an angel in front of them to protect it, saying, you don't want to eat of this tree of life because coming down the road, there's going to be a way made. Thank God. Yes, He was despised and rejected of men, but thank God the Bible says He hung up on the cross of Calvary. It wasn't pretty to look at, but thank God it was the tree of life for all of us. So this is the type of Jesus, even in the Old Testament. You say, Brian, how can you prove that this tree of life was not good to look at, and how is it like Jesus? Well, Isaiah 53 says it perfectly. Go ahead, John.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. iniquity. Amen. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, and He opened not His mouth. He is led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was He stricken, and He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper him. He shall see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because He has poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 400 years before Christ even came on this earth, Isaiah knew that when he would walk down the street, people would pass him by and say, "Who's that man? He's good for nothing." But thank God when he hung on the cross at Calvary, it was beautiful to our eyes because it gave us everlasting life when we come and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. And when we accept Him, we abide under His shadow. Go ahead, John, Psalm 91. Go ahead and do it. Come on.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. For 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and shew him my salvation.
Praise the Lord. That's what we receive when we receive the blessed Holy Spirit, a shadow of power and of glory. He was a rejected Savior, a revealed Savior. But finally we received, He was a received Savior. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. I see people that believe in this passage of Scripture. People that, you say, "Brian, how am I to be saved?" You have to believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And believing is not just coming to an altar and accepting Christ. Believing is living what you've received. And so salvation goes beyond just what you receive in an altar. It's living. It's breathing Jesus Christ. Your life changes when Jesus comes into your heart. When Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is revealed into your heart, you change the way you talk. You change the way you act. You change what you buy. You change what you wear. You change what you listen to. You change who you hang out with. I'm telling you what, there's a change that comes when Jesus is revealed in your life. When we receive Him, then we believe Him. You say, "Brian, what's belief all about?" Well, if this church was on fire and you smelled smoke, you wouldn't sit in your pew and just go to sleep, would you? You'd get out because you believe that the church is on fire. That's what that captain did on that cruise ship. He believed he was going to sink, so he was getting off ship. Wrong thing to do, but he still believed that he was going to die. So he did something about it. And that's what you have to know. You have to believe and realize that you're going to die. But thank God when you receive Christ, not only are you a people that believe, but then you have a power that is bestowed upon you. You say, "Brian, how can I have the power to become the Son of God? How can I have power to come and be saved?" You've got it all wrong. In order to have power, you have to come and ask Him into your heart, then the power comes. A lot of people want to wait on a sign. They want to wait on this. They want to wait on that. Listen, you don't have to wait on things like that. God has already revealed Himself in so many ways here tonight. He's revealed Himself by miracles. He's revealed Himself in a message. He's revealed Himself in testimonies of goodness and grace. You're here tonight by the grace of God. He's already been revealed to you. All you have to believe is that you are a sinner. But thank God you can come and receive Him. And then when you receive Him, then you receive the power to become the Son of God. And that's a wonderful thing to be called the Son of God. A Son of God. To be called the Child of God. I've said this a lot over the years and I'll say it again because it just applies so directly to this. All my life, and a lot of you have heard this so you know where I'm going with it, but all my life I've hardly ever been called Brian Bear. I've always been called something else. Growing up as a boy, I was Mark and Debbie's boy. That's fine. And then when I got into high school, I was known as Bethany's brother. And that's fine. And then when I married Heather, I was Heather's husband. That's fine. And then when Abby and Alex were born, I was Abby and Alex's dad. And then when I got joined up with Calvin Ray, I was Calvin Ray's associate. And now I'm Rubyville's assistant pastor. Greg Tingler's best buddy. But really, very rarely do I ever, and that's fine. It doesn't bother me. But I tell you the wonderful thing about it, when I came to an altar of prayer on September the 6th, 1981, as a five-year-old boy, when the light of God was revealed to me, I was sitting on the second row. You all know my testimony. You could probably repeat it. But I say it a lot because I want you to know that I remember what happened to me. I was only 5 years old, but I was in the darkness of, and I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I was bound for hell. The preacher preaching on hell, and the light of the message of the gospel pierced my heart, and it showed me I was a sinner. But thank God when they sang, "Just as I am," the light was shown again upon my life, and it shone upon the altar and said, "Come, just as you are." And I did, and He saved me. And He didn't call me Mark and Debbie's boy. He didn't write down Heather's future husband in the book of life. He wrote down Brian Mark Bear. And He called me son. Isn't that a wonderful thought tonight to know that when we receive Him as our Savior, we are no longer a child of this world, but we are a child of God and He calls you son. But you have to have the power to do that. And the power comes through the Holy Spirit. And the power comes when you come and ask Him into your heart. Do you know the Lord is your Savior tonight? Do you know who Jesus is? I'm glad I know who He is. Are you glad you know who He is? He's a wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And whatever you need Him to be, He said, "I am."